KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, June 19, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Today's topic will be the Omaha Performing Arts Center, what will it look like, how it came to be. The speakers will be Joan Squires, president of the Omaha Performing Arts Society, and Richard Holland, who, with his wife Mary, was part of the original team that developed the concept and traveled around the world looking at facilities. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr, chairman of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Kerr, chairman of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. At least once a month, the Press Club sponsors a noon forum that we think is of interest not only to our members but to the general public as well. Our noon forums are open to everyone. You do not have to be a member to attend. Ground was broken in May for the new Performing Arts Center, which will be a major addition to all the things that are happening in downtown Omaha. It's a $90 million facility, a world-class arts center, paid for with private funds. And today we will hear all about that arts center, what it will look like, how it came to be, from two people closely associated with it. There are paper and pencil at your tables. There will be a question and answer session later on in the program, so please write down your questions and bring them. They will be brought to me to read from the podium. Well, if you want to know how the Arts Center came to be, you have to hear from Dick Holland. Dick Holland and his wife, Mary, not only made a major contribution for the Arts Center, but it was largely Dick's vision and stick-to-itiveness that got the idea going and then kept it going. So it's a pleasure for me, first of all, to introduce Dick Holland. Dick?
I want to thank you for that introduction. Somebody, I was reading a thing by a Bill Moyers speech in which he said, after a flowery introduction, that he really didn't deserve it. And then he said, but of course he said George Burns once said that he didn't deserve arthritis either. I'm a native Omahan. I'm just about 82 years old. I grew up by Exarban Field. And in the early days of my existence around here, what Omaha was like was that we used to brag about when we would pass Chicago and the number of cattle we would slaughter in South Omaha. And later on, in the 50s and the 60s, the big discussion at the city council was always on the question of what to do about the odor from the stockyards, as well as how to dispose of the paunch manure. And about that same time, some people got together and started a symphony, and some people started an opera company, and we began to develop the performing arts here. And it's always a struggle, but one of the things that you have to look forward to in a future of a city is the only reason people go to New York, if they're not crazy for money, is simply for the arts. And people go to other cities mostly for the arts. I mean, they have maybe, that leaves out visiting relatives, but nobody in his right mind would go to New York just to walk around the streets. Mary and I, I might, whenever I say anything, Mary and I, are certain that only that great cities have great arts, and they have great performing arts, and they have great museums, and they it's the difference between living out in the sand hills, and which I love for a week, but what makes a city enjoyable and great and so on? Sure, there are a lot of things. We know that it's medical attention. It's It's for a lot of people, it's jobs in the modern society. But above all, what makes it great is the ability to enjoy the arts of all kinds. About 8 years ago now, I got interested in the subject of where were we going in Omaha. And one of the most obvious things was that we were short a major hall. It had reached the point where the Orpheum was taken up by the symphony and the opera to the point where Omaha could not bring any number of things to this city for the enjoyment of its people. We got started thinking about this and working on this, and a lady came up with some money to do an investigation of whether we could have an arts a new building. And we worked for a couple of years on that, but one of the things that hit me at the time was we didn't have enough leverage to think about raising that kind of money. Now, Gary said here $90 million and $10 million for the Orpheum, and actually today I'm envisioning $120 million for the simple reason that when you have a thing this big and you have to support it and look after it and all the things that go with it, we need some kind of a rich endowment to make it even better. And this is true of any place you go where they have these centers. I fell in with Walter Scott and what's that other fellow's name?
Gottschalk?
Yeah. I fell in with those two, and they have done as much, if not more, than I have. Mary and I have made a significant contribution to this project, but it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work trying to find other people who will contribute to it, other corporations, other individuals. And we're doing quite well at that. I mean, it's there's no question in our mind now that this is going to be built, and there's no question in my mind that it'll be just as wonderful as possible. Those two people were a key, and I think that Omaha owes them a real debt because they are really willing to come to bat for this. The idea of having both the Orpheum and this hall will certainly triple the amount of entertainment available to the people of this city. We also did something when we were thinking about this as to whether or not what kind of architecture. And I at least take some credit for the fact that I thought that we should have a look at an architect who's very famous for design, Polshak and Partners of New York. If you've been to New York and you've been to the Museum of Modern History there, there's a thing called the Rose Center, which is a great glass cube that covers a square block, and inside of it is the astronomical center for the park. But they had a different view of what this should be, and that was simply that they did not want to build any old building or old styles. They wanted to build a modern building, a building of its time. And and when you see these pictures and you hear more about it, it's just exactly what I envision. I think another aspect of this that I have wanted and have preached is simply that this is a building for everything. It's for every kind of entertainment you can think of. The Orpheum makes it possible to bring Broadway shows and other kinds of shows and entertainment more frequently to the city. The new hall, which will serve the symphony, but it's also It should be used for everything else in terms of music, from hip-hop to bluegrass or whatever they call it now. And I want to see, and I'd say, I think we should all want to see, the full use of this building extended to every child in this community. If we turn it into a thing that is sort of a piece of entertainment or building, which is reflecting the wealth of the certain people, and that there's any kind of elitism to it, that'd be a sad, sad mistake, because it's got to be a building. And one of the things I thought about the design, I've always thought about it, is that I always want people to come to it and be awed. You know, it's an event to go to a building of this kind. Going inside and the structure of it and the design of it and so on. And you'll see more about this, but, you know, a modern concert hall is really forward on a stage. It's not stuck back like the Orpheum, where it has a proscenium hall. And the orchestra's out in the audience, but far more, and the audience can sit behind the orchestra as well as in front of it. One of the fortunate things, we waited for a site, and we had green eyes on the old Swanson building, and we kept, sadly enough, waiting for them to go broke. Because that site, which is beautiful, level, overlooks the lagoon and all the center of the new downtown, is just perfect. And anybody in the high buildings around here will overlook it. And when people are using it, it's an interesting building because it sits on pillars, sort of floats in the air. It overlooks the mall, and the building at its height is about 100, a little more than 100 feet. I just want to say that I'm sorry about what happened to Frankie Payne when they blew up the building, but I didn't have anything to do with that. I probably forgot something. You can ask me it over there. Thank you very much.
Dick Holland, thank you so much for everything that you've done for this community. It's really, really appreciated. A reminder again that there are pieces of paper, pencil on your tables. If you have any questions for either of our guests, please write them down and they will be picked up and brought to me. Well, what will the new Performing Arts Center look like? For that, we turn to Joan Squires. Joan, as president of the Omaha Performing Arts Society, is responsible for overseeing the management and operation of the Orpheum Theater and the new Performing Arts Center. She was named president of the Performing Arts Society last year. Prior to that, she was president and CEO of the Phoenix Symphony for almost 8 years. So join me now in welcoming Joan Squires.
Thank you. And I just want to take a moment to reiterate what Gary said about Dick and Mary Holland and what is special about this building. This is really a tribute to their vision and, I might add, perseverance. This has taken place over a number of years, and I want to say it's at least been 8 to 10 years ago where some of these conversations started through some of the ups and downs of getting this project to really to be realized. Dick and Mary really saw the vision and have been able to broaden that and involve these other folks that have been working working on it, and it is just, it's going to be an incredible gift to the community, and they really, really deserve our appreciation for that. And I will tell you, that's also something that brought me to Omaha. When I understood what this building was going to be and who was involved in it, I knew it was going to be a building of distinction and one which I wanted to be associated. So I want to walk you through just a few of the things that what the building is. First of all, the Omaha Performing Arts Society as an organization was begun about a year ago when we assumed management of the Orpheum Theater from the city of Omaha. And our mission statement is really to enrich the lives of the citizens of Omaha and surrounding communities through the presentation of the highest quality local, national, and international artistic performances, with a commitment to the stewardship and management of both of these facilities, the presentation of the finest of the performing arts, and, as Dick mentioned, to ensure that we're having outreach and education efforts to support, enhance, and expand appreciation for the arts, especially for the children of this community. We took over the Orpheum Theater last spring, have invested $10 million into its renovation, and if you have been in it recently, you'll see it's a really new and shiny these days. As Dick mentioned, it's a what we call a proscenium theater. So it's a theater that has wing space and fly space, and it's perfect for theatrical presentations. It's the home and will be the home of Opera Omaha, of Broadway productions, of which we're hoping to expand what we're currently offering, and more theatrical presentations than we've had a chance to do. While it's owned by the city, it is completely managed and operated now by the Omaha Performing Arts Society. So if the roof leaks, it's our responsibility. But you will continue to see improvements. We're finishing our stage house right now, and some banners are going to be going up, and we're going to continue to enhance that. But if you haven't been in it, we've got a number of improvements. If you're sitting downstairs, we've got more leg room for everybody. We've redone all of the seating. We've got new carpet. And for the ladies in the house, we've got additional restrooms, ladies 25, men 1. I think it's I think the odds were pretty good on that one. So we're trying to cut down our lines, a new heating and ventilation system for everybody's comfort. And behind the scenes, some of the things that you haven't seen, which will be new dressing rooms, we've got those refurbished, two loading docks, and what we call a stage house extension. And what we have is a new purple, really it's a sort of an eggplant-colored addition on the back of the building that extends out on 15th Street. And what that enables us to do is to bring in even larger productions and theatrical presentations than we've had before. One of the challenges was even to get our Broadway shows in here. You couldn't get a tractor trailer up to the loading dock. So this will enable Omaha to see things starting even as soon as next year as Mamma Mia and the following season, The Producers. So some really stellar shows will be coming to our community because of some of these improvements. So it is a jewel of a building. It is a wonderful testament to the fact that it has been preserved all these years and is going to be the perfect complement to our new Performing Arts Center. So if you haven't had a chance to come see the new shiny and improved Orpheum, please come on down and see that. Our new Performing Arts Center really, as Dick mentioned, was designed with three priorities as we looked at it. First and foremost, it's a concert hall with excellent acoustics. Acoustics is one of those words people say, okay, I can't even say it, let alone spell it. What does this mean? Well, it really is the sound of the performance. And while the Orpheum is perfect for the theatrical-type productions, all of those curtains and riggings tend to absorb the sound, especially of an orchestra or of a performer, so that sometimes the sound doesn't really get out to you, the audience. And this building, we have involved, along with Polshek Architects, a firm called Kierkegaard Acousticians, which is out of Chicago. And they have done halls such as the Chicago Symphony Hall. They are involved with many of the major performance venues around the country. And they are working with us on the acoustics, and that really has driven much of the design process inside this facility. We want to ensure that when you're sitting in that audience, you are hearing an incredible performance, and that the performers sitting on stage can hear themselves, because sometimes that's a challenge. We're also making sure that if it's amplified sound or if it's the spoken word, that you can hear all of that to the best of the ability. So that really has driven much of the internal part of the structure as we go forward. The second item that we designed with the building was a center to draw people in to experience the arts. It's a building of distinction. It's one that when you see it, you want to know what's going on inside that building, and a building of distinction that will certainly last for the ages. It will be a building for the generations so that our children and our children's children will be able to enjoy a wide breadth of the arts at this facility. The building itself has 13th Street and 11th Street, actually. 12th Street goes underneath one part of the building, and it sits on Douglas Street with the back of the building to Dodge Street. The front of the building, it floats. First of all, let me talk about it. It sort of sits on what we call a stone base, and the main level of the building is really seen as floating over that so that it's sort of almost suspended in air. And along the Douglas Street facade of the building, we've got an entire wall of glass. And it's really made to be that you can see the activity inside of it, that the people inside of it can see the mall and look out over that, and that really that all at all times you can tell that there's activity. We didn't want to have a building that looked like some sort of fortress where you didn't know what was going on inside, because the arts really are about liveliness and people, and we wanted to make sure that you could see within and without. On the western part of the building is the main concert hall, which is made to look like it has a beacon at nighttime around the top part of that. Those are clerestory windows which let in daylight into the concert hall, and then at nighttime the light within will shine, so that we really believe that this will be one of the landmarks as you come in and arrive in Omaha, whether it's from the airport or from any part in town. You can see that beacon will shine. In the middle of the building is a courtyard, and that is an open area where we can have performances, weather permitting, in the middle of the building. And to the eastern side of the building is a recital hall, and I'll show you a little bit more of that later. We also have a grassy area to the east of that, which will be performances on the outside. So people like Arts on the Green, we've spoken to, looking at having some of their concerts outside, and we will be able to do some of our own presentations. The other part that's interesting about the site plan is the fact that there is no back to this building. And as the architects looked at placing our building on this wonderful site, they had to figure out where to put the dump trucks and where do the tractors go into the back to load into the building, because there's really no place to hide those types of services that every building needs but you really don't want to look at every day. So what we have is on Dodge Street, we have hidden through doors places so that we can get trucks into the building and catering vans, and the doors will close and you won't see it. So the fact that it really is visible on all sides of the building. To the north of the site, another thing that is I think is important for us at this site is the fact that the city and Union Pacific are building a new parking garage just north of the building. And I understand I want to say 4,000 spots. Don't hold me to that number, but it's quite large. And particularly in the evenings when the workers are not at the building, it will be perfect to be able to park and then literally walk right across the street to our new facility. Another little added feature is under our recital hall, which is right over 12th Street, the hall really floats. The underneath of that is completely open, and 12th Street will reopen underneath the hall so that you can drop your friends off, and whoever draws the short straw gets to go park the car. So in the wintertime, or if the weather's inclement, you get a chance to drop people off into the building, and then they can go park, and they're all undercover. Or you can come walk undercover on the western side as well. The entrance then, as you come into the building, there's a main staircase that comes into underneath, up through a courtyard, into then the second level, and we'll show you that in just a moment. During daytime, then, the building also really has, you can still see and be seen within it. So as you look and you're across the street or you're at Leahy Mall, you can see activity. And it's really our intention with the new Performing Arts Center to not just have performances in the evening, but we want this center to be used at all times. This is a building where at lunchtime we'll have performances for the people working downtown so that they can come into our building to hear some things, pick up a sandwich, have a performance. That we have daytime events to bring children into it, or matinee performances, and things during the evening. So this building is going to be used all during the day and night. beyond the performing arts, too, it's a building that can host events. We see it as a place to have luncheons. Our recital hall will be a room that can host banquets and dinners, even weddings, so that it's a place that will have lots of activity even beyond the arts, and that really will become a focus, I think, for the community. The inside of the concert hall, and I think this is particularly a place where you can see the difference between the Orpheum Theater and what a concert hall looks like. The orchestra or the artists on the stage are really within the same room as the audience. They're not behind a curtain. They're not behind some sets. They are really sharing the same space just as you would in a small room. It's just a pretty large room. And what it has is risers on the stage, so we can make multi-levels that you can see the musicians. We can make it flat so that if we have performers that need a flat stage, it has lots of different versions. And behind the stage is a couple of rows of seats that for many of our concerts will be able to sell those seats. So if you don't want to see the performers from the front, you can watch them from the back. But it gives you a chance to see the conductor and the performances from behind. It also will serve as a choral loft, so the choral organizations in the town, as they use us, we have space for choruses, we can have risers, and also have choristers sitting in some of those seats there. In this rendering, there is a facade of organ pipes, and I will tell you, we are not doing truth in advertising at the moment, that the organ facade will come at a later time. That will be a screen designed to blend in with the rest of the building, and in the future, we have a chamber back there that will accommodate a pipe organ, but that is not part of our current plans. And really, when you build a new building, you don't want the organ to be there at the beginning because you want the building to settle in. You really need to tune the acoustics and get the building operating, and then it is something will come into a future phase. In this building, too, around the top of it, we have the clerestory windows that can be blacked out for pops concerts or concerts that have special theatrical lighting, or we can have them open. And that is one of the elements that our design team saw when they visited some of the halls around the country and actually internationally. I know that some of our board members and some of the design team went to places like Benaroya Hall in Seattle. They went to Bass Hall in Fort Worth, the Meyerson Center in Dallas. They even went to the Musikverein and actually in Vienna, and that's one of the ideas that they brought back was the idea of having natural light in a concert hall because it's a very unusual thing to have concert halls to have that. We also have a canopy that's adjustable, and then acoustically, we've got walls designed so that the sound is really diffused without the room so that everybody, whether you're sitting downstairs or up in one of our two balconies, that the sound really will be the best that you can hear in this hall. The wood that we're using is sycamore. It's a beautiful finish, and I've seen some samples of it, and it really is going to be a magnificent center. On the first floor, then, above our floating lobby here, we are going to have many patron services through there. So that really is going to be a level of activity as you come into the Omaha Performing Arts Center. And to the left of it, as you look at it from Leahy Mall, will be a box office that we want to be able to serve all of our performing arts. It'll be a place that you can get your tickets, exchange tickets, do the purchases. In the middle of the building will be a small retail store or gift shop, and then we also will have a small cafe where you can pick up a sandwich or soup and have it before concerts or during the daytime so that we will have some food service in the building as well. But then as you come into the building, those things will always be open during the day with places where you can pick up brochures, find out what's happening in the building, and then that you would ascend either through some elevators on either side or our grand staircase into the main lobby to come to our concerts. When the people come to concerts, they really don't want to be shuttled off into sides. The architects did a lot of studies of folks going and coming from arts events, and gathering together is a big part of that, to have people to see and be seen within those spaces. So we've got balconies where they can look down, or you can see the activity in the lobby looking at it. There are also use of some wonderful materials in the building with zinc and copper and wood, lots of things that will both stand up over time and I think really be very striking and not something that we see every day in this community. As we mentioned, there's a stone base and a light beacon atop the concert hall. Our timetable on our new facility, our groundbreaking is scheduled, well, was in April. And if you get a chance to drive down Douglas Street, you will see a vast hole in the ground with lots of pilings coming up. We're really starting to move along, and the main crane is now up and up, ready to operate. And what we are looking at now is in the fall of 2005. The exact date has not yet been set. It will be shortly, but what we will look at is a fall opening. So in two short years, this incredible new facility will be here for all of us to enjoy. And you know, Dick sort of mentioned this, and I just want to reiterate, the question I pretty much hear everywhere I go is, why do we need this other facility? I mean, we've got the wonderful Orpheum. What does it mean? Well, we really want to be able to help further the artistic goals of our organization. So it will be the home of the Omaha Symphony. The opera will remain there. It will enable those organizations to expand and to do some new things that they have not been able to do. Because I will tell you, literally at the Orpheum today, there are no available dates. I will say no, but very limited available dates. And we find ourselves often turning people away because we just don't have the capacity in our theater. You know, occasionally something will open up, but it's very difficult to get those dates because really the use of it is tremendous, and we really need to expand that capacity. And we want to be able to bring to Omaha those artists that are bypassing our city. I mean, we often will hear from managements who say, well, I have this great touring production or some superstar artist is coming through. You know, Itzhak Perlman's going from Chicago to L.A. Do you have room? Well, we don't because we don't have the dates at the Orpheum. That we're missing artists that would come through the community, and this will give us a chance to really bring in some of those productions. It is the perfect combination, I believe, of the two facilities. The Orpheum, again, will have Broadway and opera. Dance is something we've not had a chance to present much of. Popular entertainers. We'll have commercial promoters. Local organizations. We now host some dance studios and graduations, and we'll be able to do much more of that. Family entertainment. Things like Blue's Clues were here a few weeks ago. We'd like to do more of those things. And have it available for corporate annual meetings, private events, demonstrations. We will be able to. We have a speaker system in both of these halls that will accommodate those types of activities. Our new Performing Arts Center with the Youth Orchestra and the Omaha Symphony, jazz and big band, world music, popular entertainers, again, lunchtime ensembles, cabaret, private events, lots of different things that we've not had a chance to do. And I'll tell you, what I think this project represents is really the commitment to community. The fact that we've got Dick and Mary Holland, the members of the board of the Omaha Performing Arts Society, Dick mentioned John Gottschalk and Walter Scott, who have spearheaded this, along with Tim Sandoz and Meg Dodge. We've got leaders with vision who really have enabled this to happen, and this just doesn't happen everywhere. It's an incredible testament to Omaha that this building is happening here. It's an affirmation, I think, of the importance of the arts in this community. It really enhances our quality of life. It helps us develop creative workforces. It has tremendous economic impact. And, you know, we haven't spent much time talking about that today, but every city that has had a new performing arts center, all of a sudden around it, you start to see restaurants and retail and traffic flow and pedestrians, and it starts to become a real center for downtown and really enhances the wonderful things that already are going on downtown. And again, focusing on children's education. This really, truly is a gift for the community. It is for the entire community. We want everyone to partake of it. It's just, I have to quit talking so fast about it because I get so excited about what this means for the city. We've got lots of great plans coming forward. We do hope all of you will come participate. We're getting a website, by the way, that should be up in about 2 to 3 weeks that will start to have construction photos so you can start to follow our progress. But you can find us at omahaperformingarts.org. We've got a small site right now that features the Orpheum, but we will, in about 3 weeks, be putting on construction photos and much more details about our design team and what this building's about. So come check us out, and in a couple of years, you'll start to hear more about us. But both Dick and I know would be happy to answer any questions, and appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joan Squires. We will ask some of these questions now, and if any of the rest of you have any questions, please raise your hand, and Dale Munson will pick them up and bring them up. I think you've laid it out pretty good, but there were several questions with regard to the Orpheum, and one questioner worried about and asked, please don't tell us, please reassure us that somewhere down the road there are no plans to demolish the Orpheum Theater.
Absolutely not. It really is the perfect combination of these two buildings, that we have a proscenium theater along with the new center. The new center cannot accommodate Broadway. You saw in our slide, and we talked about that hall, which is great for music, but we can't put Broadway shows in there. So it really, the Orpheum is a jewel, and really what we're doing right now is continuing to go beyond that $10 million of enhancements, and you'll see some new signage, some new banners. We're just going to continue to make improvements to the Orpheum. It's a wonderful facility.
How do you plan to introduce the new arts center to the public? And do you have a name for it yet? That was another question I had.
Our working title right now is the Omaha Performing Arts Center. So that's where we are at the moment. About introductions, Dick, do you want me to take this? We're going to be going around the community to start to, right now, do things like this, to start to talk to both groups like you and the radio audience about what this means. And as we start to get our programming together, looking for input from focus groups as we always do our programming. And then as we start to book our acts, you'll see some advertisements and you'll start to get some mailings from us. We've got a plan we're just putting together now. And we're also in the process of hiring some staff. So you'll start to hear more and more about us. And don't worry, as we get our productions ready, the word will be out.
As Omaha grows west, do you think the downtown Omaha location will affect attendance and discourage West Omaha people from attending? Dick, what do you think about that?
Well, you got to remember that we also have Western Iowa, you know, and they come to Omaha when we develop in downtown Omaha, we are solving a problem about another audience, and I don't think that in terms of the arts, I think people go for miles for that. You know, we have people come here from Kansas City to see the opera, and people that, in Omaha that go to New York to see the opera or symphony or some plays. So, I don't think so. It may stumble on some sort of event, but not really. I mean, people are attracted to something like this. And, you know, heck, I always laughed about all those people that went up to Woodstock. My God, do you know where Woodstock is? I mean, it's out of the damnedest country.
With all the glass and windows, will the hall be properly soundproof?
That's a great question. Absolutely. First of all, the glass, let me mention, is a special fretted glass so that if you're standing in the lobby, we don't want to cook our patrons. So it really will protect you from the sunshine. It'll let the sun in, but it's also got some screening in it. But I will tell you that it's what we call an isolation chamber. The concert hall itself really has double doors and is done with double insulation around it. Not as insulation material, but sound locks around it so that no sound gets in or out. So that everything in this building has been designed for the best sound in these buildings, that each of the different halls are isolated from each other so that things like you won't hear the catering carts crashing in the background, you won't hear things in the lobby. We want to make sure that your experience in this hall is the best, and acoustics have really driven all of the design. So I feel very confident in what's being done by our wonderful design team.
Dick Holland, you have all of the money raised. You keep hearing $90 million. You said it might come up to $120 million. I mean, how close are you on that?
Well, I don't know the exact figure today, but we're getting very close to where we have to be. When I used $120 million, that's $20 million that we'll probably do something about after the building opens. But it's surprising. I mean, various corporations, various individuals, have made, you know, very, very substantial pledges. And we're in very good shape. It's I don't want to say that in order to discourage any of you. But we're doing well.
Dick, do you want to mention this? I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
can I make here? The city portion of this and the private part would be important, I think, to mention, too.
The city's contribution to this is $15 million. Our contribution, the performing arts, is $85 million.
And the city's contribution is infrastructure mostly? Is that it? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did all the clearances and the all the environmental work that had to be done. And the entire electrical system down through there had to be drastically changed. But now it's a very good deal for the city as a city, and it's a very good deal for the citizens.
Yeah, it is. I think it's important. The fact that 85% is coming from private dollars is amazing. In many cities, you see a much higher percentage, for instance, of public support. I mean, we were certainly grateful, and it's a wonderful gift, but it's, I think, a real testament to the city that the individuals that are and corporations that are stepping up to help fund this building.
Talk about your relationship with Mecca and their new facility for either one of you.
Well, I just think that they complement. One of the hells of going to conventions is most of them are set up for, I wouldn't say just men, but for working people that have an interest. And then there's tagging along the wives and husbands. And this merely will complement that. I have any doubt about that. I don't think they're the same audience at all, and I don't think they're in conflict either at all. I mean, both Mecca and this development really put Omaha on the map, and I hope that's in the right way.
Joan, there's a question here about parking for daytime use.
We're still working that out. we are cognizant it's important that when we have matinees and daytime events that we'll need to have that accommodated. I'll tell you one of the other things I will mention on parking, too, is we're going to be looking into valet parking and some extra amenities as well. So stay tuned. I don't have a good answer for you yet, but we will have that fixed before the building opens.
What about the projected rental costs for the main hall and for the chamber hall? How do those costs compare with Orpheum rental?
We have looked very carefully at a number of facilities, both within the region and nationally, to make sure our costs will be in line. And you will see probably fairly comparable costs between the Orpheum and the new building, depending on the event, depending on what the needs are. We should know this, we subsidize our nonprofit and some of our local groups even now. The Symphony and the Opera, because they are such high users of our buildings, we want to work closely with them. So we are subsidizing some of that so that the rents aren't so exorbitant that they can't afford to be in there and that they can keep their ticket prices down. So it's one of the things we carefully are going to monitor because we want to make sure that people can afford to come to the new buildings as well.
What design elements are specifically from European halls?
Well, I think the open glass upper area, over the cover, is directly out of the Vienna Concert Hall. I always thought that this kind of thing was made the acoustics a problem. But this thing was built something like in the 16th century, or early 17th, and acoustically, you know, it's one of the great halls of the world, and it disproved the idea that a hall had to be sort of encased. I think that's the in terms of the acoustical design, that's the principal element. The rest of it is. I think what I'd call a modern, very modern American building.
It's my understanding that other art centers that have been built around the country are much more expensive. Compare those with what this art center will be.
Many of those art centers that have been built at a much higher price tag are what they call multi-purpose. So what they do is combine what we're doing in this facility with the Orpheum. So it would be a city which would have only one facility that would have to accommodate both orchestra and those types of concerts along with the theatrical. So that really, that's where one place where the costs particularly can climb when you're putting in riggings and set and proscenium and wing space and all of the lighting and sound requirements for that kind of theatrical. So we will have a wonderful state-of-the-art system, but it's not on the scale that those types of buildings will have. Some of them are a little larger as well. They'll have maybe a different kind of configuration, or the materials they use, they get really ornate on the outside where some of those costs tend to be. I got to tell you, this is the best spent $90 million I have ever seen. It's just really being used extremely well.
You know, when somebody worrying about the Orpheum, you know, if we had to duplicate the Orpheum, that'd be another $100 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, no question about it. That's a vast building, you know, and of course this one is too.
Dick, this is for you too, and maybe you've already answered this, but it says, I'm sure as you went along you had to set priorities. What could we afford? Were there some things you wished you could have had in the Art Center, but just those just weren't possible in the end?
I don't have anything like that right now. I know that one of the things we have is the interior decoration parts. It's going to cost considerable, you know, if we add great paintings and sculpture and that kind of thing to it over a period of time. But we're not going to. I didn't think of anything. But, you know, the people that we have working on it are experts in everything about theaters. We have a theater expert, you know, that has gone all over the world, helping with designs and reminding people of things that they need. And they also have, when the acoustical people have, this has become a much finer art than it was a few years ago. And, of course, Polsak and partners, one of the most recent jobs they did was the redesign of part of the Carnegie Hall. Incidentally, I forgot to mention this, too, that they're also doing Bill Clinton's library, in case that upsets you.
And if I can add to that, too, under the design team has really been headed by HDR Architecture locally, and they've had experience with the LEED Center in Lincoln, with the Southwest Iowa Community College, have done some performing arts centers, and with their leadership, along with Polsak, Kierkegaard, we mentioned, and Fisher Dax, the theater consultants, I agree with Dick. We aren't wanting for anything in this building. It really has been an incredible group with give and take, and there's nothing of any significance missing whatsoever that I can see.
You talked about not having room at the Orpheum. Can you give us a sense now with this new Performing Arts Center, the percentage increase we might see in the number of performances, kinds of performances, that sort of thing?
Well, if you look at capacity, we really are going to be somewhere between doubling and tripling it with the two facilities. The Orpheum has 2,500 seats, which is what you want for opera and Broadway. And the new concert hall with 2,000 seats and the recital hall with 450 seats, well, you've got those now 365 days a year. So we've got lots of room to start to put things in. Now, all dates are not created equal. People seem to like Friday and Saturday nights as opposed to a Monday night for their performance attendance, sometimes a little more. But we've got a great chance to increase Broadway, for the opera to do any expansion it would like, to bring in, Dick's term, hip-hop and bluegrass and jazz and dance, things that I mentioned haven't been here before in both facilities, really. So it's really going to grow. We'll have to grow the audience carefully. We're going to have to make sure that as the audiences expand, that we will continue to meet that need. But you're going to see a pretty good explosion of more performing arts here.
We think of Des Moines, Kansas City, and Denver as cities we like to look toward to compare how we're doing in the performing arts area. how are we doing or will we do with this new facility in Omaha compared to those places?
Oh, I think that when we get it fully flowering, it will be fully the equivalent. I mean, we won't have to take a back seat on to anybody. I've visited, I guess, all those cities and their halls, and we're right up there now.
Was there any thought given to trying to make this entirely a city-funded project, or was this always envisioned as a privately funded arts center, Dick?
Well, you know, if the city had said, gee, we would like to do this, you can imagine our feelings. But it was very apparent from the beginning that, gee, it is not her, there are feelings. I remember some early meetings with the city when, what's his name was mayor?
Al Dobb.
And, you know, they all like to sound like, you know, they're ready to help you do anything you want to do, except don't ask for money. And I kind of think that in a certain way, they realized in the end that, God, they ought to be part of it. And, of course, you know, the city realized a wonderful thing in getting rid of the Orpheum, as far as they were concerned, and getting somebody to put $10 million in it and to restore it to the way it should be and to make it possible, make it fully into a performing arts hall. I mean, you don't see everything when you're at the Orpheum, but if you go backstage, and if you knew what the backstage was like before that, it's like night and day. In fact, I always thought that Walter Scott joined the crowd when we took him backstage with his wife, and she said, Walter, this is a disgrace.
We have time for one more question. This will be it, and I'm sure you both will have some opinions on this. Will naming rights be for sale?
I think that they're not for sale, but large contributors are going to have the opportunity to have the Dick Holland toilets, you know.
Thank you so much. We're all looking forward to the completion of the new Performing Arts Center in downtown Omaha in 2005, and our thanks to Dick Holland and Joan Squires for telling us all about it. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today's topic was the Omaha Performing Arts Center, what will it look like, how it came to be. The speakers were Joan Squires, president of the Omaha Performing Arts Society, and Richard Holland, who, with his wife Mary, was part of the original team that developed the concept and traveled around the world looking at facilities. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, June 19, 2003, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Gary Kerr for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. If you'd like to attend future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.